Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headline, front page, and rap, the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Took a brother's life with a knife. That's his life. Tried, cause he died a trifling death when he left. Very last breath was I slept, so watch your step. Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gangbang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan. And I...
Hey, everybody, welcome to Chilling with Cheese. We're going to switch the focus tonight. We usually talk boxing and sports, but we got a big issue going on in America, and I wanted to use my platform to address it. Before I start off, feel free to call the show at 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. We're going to go right to the callers because we're going to address this subject of youth gang violence in America, and we got a caller right on the line, so we're going to go right to it. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where you calling from? Hey, caller, what's your name? Where you calling from? Hello, caller. Hopefully we can get that caller back. But yeah, I wanted to address the situation of youth gun violence in America. And it's a pretty sad situation. I hear it every day, and I talk to different people from around the country, and it's a big issue, and I don't have a solution. I have, ideas in which we can try to help the youth to let them know that this is not the right way to go. But I guess using this forum to circulate information, get the word out, get some positive energy going will allow us to, have a good dialogue to see what we can do to address this big issue. I'm a believer if we can say one person, if one kid is listening or is able to tune in tonight and we can have them think twice before pulling the trigger or shooting somebody in the head or something, they'll think twice and, think things through, because once you do that kind of stuff, it has a, no turning back, for all sides, but all sides of the families involved. You have the, of course, the victim, the families are going to have to grieve, and also for the person who committed the heinous act, who's going to be in jail for the rest of his life. So I'm going to try to find situations or ways that our kids can, have other alternatives to just pulling out a gun, taking somebody's life. I don't know exactly, as I stated before, I don't know exactly what to do, but to use this platform in the way that I know how, maybe I can make a bit of a difference. So, again, if you'd like to call in, 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496, and I have relatives all over the country, whether it's Chicago and Alabama, Texas, California, New Jersey, friends from all over the country, and it's the same issue going on all over the country, in Detroit, Philly, New York City, Compton, California, my hometown of Baltimore, which is, we are really, really in desperate need of prayer for our city because we're really going through some hard times lately with the gun violence and just like all the other big cities. So, yeah, man, I'm just here to do what I can to help. So, see what we can do. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, caller? Caller? Hello, caller, what's your name? Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how are you? Lost another caller. This is starting out really good again. But, yeah, hopefully that caller can call back. And Because that caller tried to call a couple times, so I don't want them to give up. So, yeah, again, if you like the call number, 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. If you don't know, I was able to go out to Compton, California about a month and a half ago, and I met two gentlemen who started a business. It's called the Trap Kitchen out there, and it was a really inspiring story because they were able to, one's a Blood, one was a Crip, and they were able to put their differences aside as far as their, you know, what they believed in or what they were going against and, you know, try to have a, you know, a positive energy and a positive environment and positive business in their city of Compton, which is a tough city, and really inspiring story, and I just felt if they could do it, coming from one being a Blood and one being a Crip, then it can be done, because of course there's a lot of deep-rooted animosity out there going back for 40, 50 years, so I just felt that that was a great model to go by as far as, you know, things can be done. I will never say it can't be, or people allowing beefs to divide them, whether it's jealousy or hatred or envy or anything. I just think, you know, we should allow to just come together, because at the end of the day, we're all the same, and we all we got. We just, you know, we got to be able to live with each other. Yes, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yo.
Hey, how you doing, Carl?
What's up? It's Tom, bro.
Hey, how you doing, man? What's going on, Tom?
Cooking, man. Just wanted to see what you got going, man. That just got the reminder.
Yeah, man. I was just talking to everybody about the I kind of switched the show up tonight and talking about the gun violence issue in America, man. I know you being from Milwaukee, it was a tough environment growing up, man. Anything you got to say about that, or?
Man, it's totally different when I was coming up to where it is now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I came up in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Just went crackhead and all that.
Hey, Tony, before you finish, I got another caller to add it to the line. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Kia, Maryland.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
All right. What you got to say about the whole gun violence issue in America?
I want to hear what other caller has to say, and if I might jump in.
I appreciate it. Go ahead, Tom. Right.
This is Tom.
He's out in Vegas, and he's a good guy. He's actually from Milwaukee, living in Vegas now. What were you going to say, Tom?
Yeah, Lala, you know what I'm saying? I grew up like in the 80s where, you know what I'm saying, that crack and all that stuff just broke down families and the gang thing started popping off. And, you know what I'm saying, going from fighting head up until getting a blade until, you know what I'm saying, getting guns and getting bigger guns and all that. So the game did change, and plus there ain't no structure out here in these streets to school these shorties, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's just crazy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you heard this phrase before, I can get a gun quicker than I can get a job. You know what I'm saying? I've so
yes, yeah.
It's like that. You know what I'm saying? Like now is way different, but it's no structure, man. Cause we had the OGs to talk to, the pimps, the hustlers, and you know what I'm saying, even the alcoholics and the winos back in the day. You know what I'm saying? We had somebody to talk to. But now everybody want to be this nigga, you know what I'm saying, that top dude, that goon, that gunner, that shooter. And I feel like that's whack, you know what I'm saying? And it needs to be tougher laws on guns, honestly. It really does, because it's a lot of innocent people that's getting, you know what I'm saying, that's getting gutted, man. And it's sad. It's too many funerals, not enough graduates, man.
Oh, man, you're absolutely right. Now, I talked to a couple of guys yesterday, and they were telling me, of course, they were in the game as well, and they said, you know, geez, a lot back then, we didn't allow certain things to happen in a neighborhood, even though they were doing the wrong thing, which I can't condone that. But as you stated before, there was some kind of structure. And obviously that's not there today, and, you know, kids, you know, I guess, you know, they resort to the gang because the home is broken down, so they need some kind of reassurance of love or whatever. But, I mean, I don't know, man. Like I told you in the opening, I don't have an answer. All I have is a platform to allow people to talk about it. But, yeah, the other caller, you hear, come on, jump in the conversation. What do you think about this?
I don't know. I think, you know, with the gang, with youth violence, I mean, this is not something new. It's been going on for, you know, some years now. I think it's progressing, you know. In Baltimore today, we had seven shootings. Seven people got shot, and one body was found near Sinai Hospital. And there's no rage in that. Nobody is mad. Nobody is upset, unless it's a personal family member to the people who have gotten shot today. But that should be alarming. That should be, like, somebody should be mad. Somebody should be enraged in regards to that, because seven people got shot today. Even if it was one, that's still alarming, you know. But I think that in this city alone, I think that when you're dealing with the adolescents and young adults, because when they 18 going into the 21 mark, they're considered young adults. I think that they have become so numb to, you know, just violence as a whole, because a lot of them have grown up with it. You know, I mean, from home to the streets to school to wherever they go in the community, they have, it's almost like it's a statue in their life now, where it's just nothing too amazing for them. You know, I mean, oh, he got shot. Okay, he got shot. But I raised a question, you know, the other day when people were talking about the young man who was a rapper and got killed here in Baltimore. And I said that, well, who's raising the killers? You know, I mean, because everybody's on social media, everybody has an opinion, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. But these kids are not coming from out of space. They're not aliens. Right. They're not being dropped off in the community and left there with unknown marks. These kids are coming from homes and from people who live in the same community that the violence is happening. And unless their family is directly impacted, nobody cares. So my question has always been, and I guess it will remain long term, who's raising the killers? You know, who's raising these kids to kill? Who's raising these kids not to love, to not have compassion, not even feel like they appreciate life or someone else's life? Who's raising these individuals? You know, when you think about, I know the Milwaukee gentleman talked about when crack cocaine and heroin hit the streets. You know, I remember that in Baltimore. And if you think about the era that we're in, you know, during that time, it was a lot of drug addiction in Baltimore. You know, that's, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar, y'all males, I don't know, but statistics show that, you know, a lot of times when someone's out there and they're using drugs, a lot of times they become more fertile. You know, they're not protecting themselves. They're,
right.
you know, they're
That's
sleeping.
Right.
They're trying to get their next hit. So they're doing whatever they have to do to get their next hit. And
That's right.
in conjunction with that, once they get pregnant, they're not getting clean. You know, so they're having these babies that are addicted to drugs when they come out on the street, which also go into details of, you know, like mental health issues later and things of that sort. But that's a whole different conversation. But when I think about the era of drugs itself and crack cocaine and the heroin that hit the streets of Baltimore, and I think about where we are, and I think about the past generation of, you know, substance abuse users and the timing of, you know, where these kids are, it makes me think back on those were the kids that were actually, you know, kind of unfortunately victims to, you know, being substance abuse babies and things of that sort. You know, the kids are, you know, at one point the system used to be filled with foster care kids. It's not a lot of foster care kids when you're talking about older kids. You know, they'll say it is, but it's really not. I mean, I'm familiar with the system. I worked in the system. Can't nobody tell me about this system. For statistics and things of that sort, the numbers have dropped when you're dealing with older kids because they're only coming to the system. Either they're getting in trouble coming into the system or it's wintertime and they have nowhere to go. So they come into the system for shelter, food, and things of that sort to have a place to live. You know, but they have become so dependent where they're offending for themselves. So they don't have the example. They're not going to the loving home. They don't have the parents that's educating them on, you know, love and what they shouldn't and should not be doing.
That's right.
I guess my question has always been, as I previously stated and will remain, who's raising the killer? Because everybody will get on social media and say, oh, my son or my daughter, don't do that. My daughter and my son wasn't in a riot in Baltimore City. That wasn't my son. That wasn't my daughter. So my question is, who kids were? There's somebody kids here. It's somebody kids, and we have, as parents, have to be the first example, I think, overall. I don't care what resources you pour into the community. You know, people talk about, oh, well, they're building more jails, you know, and they won't open up the rec centers. What generation are you in? What generation are you in? Because the generation I'm in and what I see every day and what I experience and come in contact with, you got kids in elementary school going to middle school popping pills.
Yep.
So what are they going to do at the rec center? You know, I mean, I'm just being realistic here. You know, because people say, oh, well, the city ain't spending no money on resources. Oh, they building more jails. You know, number one, you're giving them a reason to build more jails. That's number one, but I'm not even going to get into that. But number two is, you know what I'm saying, like, what are these kids going to do at a rec center? Because the rec centers that they had in place, they were selling drugs out of. People don't talk about that.
That's a
you know, sometimes people just hear other people talk and it sounds good, so they kind of agree. They don't really think about the theory that goes into it and where we are as a society as well as a community and a city. And this city is actually progressing more and more each day because you have so many followers, you have so many people that want to fit in. You know, it's like, oh, well, he's doing this, so I'm going to follow him that way, or she's doing it, so I'm just going to agree to what they're saying. But a lot of times when you hear people speak, you can tell there's a disconnect for them knowing what's really, really going on in their own city and, you know, at their front door, rather. A lot of people don't even know what's going on in their front door, you know. So, you know, they talk about resources and they say, oh, well, the mayor doesn't do this, or, you know, this politician doesn't do that. I remember a time when I was growing up, you know, the people in my neighborhood policed their own neighborhood. Couldn't come in my neighborhood and do anything you wanted to do in my neighborhood. You know, you couldn't and disrespect the grown people in my neighborhood and if there was no repercussions or consequence in my neighborhood. You know, now it's to the point where, you know, some people are scared to say anything to the kids or young adults. Some people don't want to get involved unless they directly impact it.
you know, like through violence or something like that, then they want to talk or speak about what went on and things like that. When their family member has been impacted, everybody has become selfish and worrying about self. You know, I have parents that tell me all the time, oh, well, he's 15, he's 16. I'm done raising him. My mother and my father put me out at 16. You know, so you have a lot of variables that happen to bring us to this point of where we are. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. No,
it should be alarming. Uh-huh. It should be, you know, people should be like serious, and people should be going crazy that, okay, the city does want to build more jails and not put other resources in the community. I'm not saying a rec center. I'm saying any resources in the community. But what I have seen over the course of several years is that the more resources we pour in the community when they are available, the more they want and the more, you know, they don't use. They don't use a lot of the resources that's already here. People not utilizing the resources that are already here. And not that they don't know about it, because they don't want to use. You can tell them all day about a resource, and if you're not actually doing it or giving it to them, they're not going to do it. So you think about the adolescents and, like I said, the young adults of where we are today. And you think about the parents and the examples of what they have to look at and things like that. You have parents smoking marijuana with their kids, you know, that hang out with their kids. And I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but it should be a level of respect. It should be a level of scare. Like, I'm not, you know, my daughter's 19. She'll be 20 years old soon. You would never find us in a club together. I don't go to clubs anyway, but even if I did, we would never be partying together. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not my first rodeo, because I was a foster parent to my sister, who is now 34. So, so I dealt with the system indirectly and directly, you know, as a professional as well as on a personal side. So I see it. I know it. You know, I see what goes on. A lot of people do not see it. They just know what's on TV, and they know what's being spread around social media. I think sometimes people need to get off of social media, get into their neighborhood, figure out what's going on, and really come up with real solutions. Not know, they should be doing this. Let's get into the neighborhood and figure out what we should be doing in the neighborhood. You live in those neighborhoods. You know, you
That's
live
true.
In a neighborhood. Why wouldn't you want to make sure your neighborhood is safe for your kids or any other kids? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, can you stay on? Because we got another caller. I want you, please stay. Can you stay on a few more minutes? You still there?
Yes.
Hello, caller. You on the line. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yo, Rob. What's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing, Eric? This is Eric out in Colorado. We're talking about the whole gang violence. I mean, youth gang violence. What do you think, Eric?
You know what? I think it starts in the community. I know, you know, parents get a lot of blame, but you know, parents can't be there 24/7. You know, there's an African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child, and I think these kids these days, they need more than just their parents. They need a stable foundation to, you know, to have faith in themselves and people to believe in them, you know, and structure. So they're not out there, you know, having to make these split second decisions that can change their life.
Yeah. And I know you coming out from the Midwest, Eric, and Killian, Tom were talking about back when they were younger, the neighborhood, and I'm quite sure it's like this in your neighborhood, where the kind of neighborhood kind of policed itself. What do you think about that now, and how the whole structure of even the hierarchy in the neighborhood has changed?
Well, see, I'm from Denver, and right now there's a lot of, I think the word is, I can't think of the word, but they're moving families and kids out of the inner neighborhoods and out to these other neighborhoods far away, and they're tearing down all the old structures, and I mean, I can say, you know, white people, if I can say, if I want to be politically correct, they're moving in and building. They're building these new businesses and these new homes, and they're moving families out. And what they're doing is all these different sets of families, urban families, African Americans, Hispanics, you know, Cambodians, Native Americans. They're putting them all in the same pot, and, you know, you have different cultural backgrounds, things ain't going to mix. And that, I think that's where, you know, a lot of these issues are happening. But like you said about the inner city, you know, hierarchy and community policing themselves, well, if the right people are in the place, then, you know, they're not really learning what they're supposed to learn. They're learning what someone else's agenda is.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, hold on. I got another caller calling. Caller, where are you from? Where are you calling from? Area code 205. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Well, we'll get back to him, I guess. But, Eric and Akilah, and I'm glad you called in because she is one of the, and I'm let you guys know, she is one of the people where she's a very modest woman, but she's very humble. She's an intelligent woman, but she's also been in the trenches, and I'm so glad you called in. And just to give us some insight on what people may not know about what's going on in the inner workings of all the political red tape that goes on when people say they're doing things. And I'm glad you called in. But getting back to Eric, do you think because a lot of people are from different areas and they're mixing backgrounds, do you think that that is an issue as far as gang violence out in the Midwest or in Colorado where you're at?
Well, I think it's an issue anywhere. You know, a lot of gangs are built on pride and where you come from. And when you have different mixtures, you know, coming together and you don't understand where a person comes from or how they were born and how they live their life, that's going to cause a lot of tension because you could, while you think something is rude, it could be natural to, you know, that person and how they were raised. But, you know, a person who doesn't know that causes issues, that causes tension.
Yeah, you guys jump in. Anybody have anything they want to say about Eric and what he said?
Yeah, only I can say everything just basically starts at the home, man. It starts at the home. Because I know everybody in my neighborhood. Everybody. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You have to. You have to know your community. Period, point blank. We don't talk to nobody no more. We don't associate like we used to. You know what I'm saying? So it's best is to try to get to know everybody in the community. We have to know who our children is playing with. You know what I'm saying? To go to school and all
right.
That. You have to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That is my look on.
Yeah, this is a point. You know, I mean, people say, you know, Akilah, you know, I have to work. I have to work too. You know, I mean, when I was in school, you know, getting my degrees and things like that, I had a daughter. She played numerous sports. You know, she was very active in her school, and I was in school. So I was working full-time. You know, I was working full-time. I was a manager in my position, which was very stressful because I dealt with legal, and I was doing an internship that required me to do 3 days a week, an internship.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like working part-time. My daughter, again, was in several different activities where I was running back and forth from the county to the city, the suburbs to the city. And guess what? When I went to school, she went to school with me. She sat in the class with me. You know, so you make the sacrifices that you have to make for your kids. And I think a lot of times people have become very selfish as parents. And they'll say, you know, well, I have to work. We all have to work. And that's why, again, like the previous caller said, you give them other foundation, like mentors and, you know, the aunts and the uncles that are home that's not working while you're working because everybody's not working at the same time. Let's be realistic. Everybody don't have the same shift. You know, going to work.
Right.
So somebody is home, you know, that could actually monitor or watch the child and be there for them. And I don't think that we have this. Like I said, it's a lot of different variables that come into play when you're talking about where we are as a society as well as, the adolescents and young adults where they are. You know, I look at this generation, and when I go out into the community, and at one point I had 50 clients. I used to call them the fearless clients. You know, because not only biblically, you know, I said they're fearless because, you know, right now some of them act like they ain't scared of anything, and that could be a good thing and a bad thing. You know, I mean, when we talk about the riot that we had in Baltimore, you know, people, you know, was of course, disturbed. It wasn't a good thing. It didn't bring a good light on our city. But it also, but what it did bring is attention to this city, to let people that don't live here know what's going on here. You know, so, and nobody in the past generation probably would have did that. So, you know, they were kind of fearless. They was radical at the time. But it brought a lot of people attention to, okay, this is really what's going on in Baltimore. Like, we knew there were some issues here, but these are some major issues. And it gave us a look from people on higher levels on, you know, around the nation. You know, that thing went around the nation, not just, you know, just the different states. It was a nation thing that they were playing. You know, so I did think it was a negative, but I also think that it put light on what the issues that we have here and what we're, you know, struggling with here as far as our adolescents. And like I said, it's so many variables that come along with this and how we progress to where we are now that it will probably take longer than a conversation just to kind of break down what needs to be done, you know, to kind of move from where we are. Because I think that eventually we are going to move from where we are. We're just in a really bad state right now. And it can't be bad forever, you know. I mean, be bad forever, you know, because people are going to rise up eventually.
Yeah, I got Keon down in Birmingham. Hey, Keon, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm real.
Hey, jump on in, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right.
Give me your take on the youth gun violence in America. I know you guys have a different dynamic going down in Birmingham. What you think about what's going on as far as the youth gun violence all over the country?
Basically, my whole thing is with the situation. I understand the fact that the parents have to work. That's understandable because the way the economy is set up now is not set up like back in the day where you can have mom at home and dad at work and he provides and mom watch over the kids. And it's like now the respect factor is completely gone as far as how kids respect their parents. And, you know, it's so easy for kids to get his hands on a gun nowadays. It's ridiculous. Like, you can go to any little neighborhood down here in Birmingham and you can have an assault rifle that shoots 40 times, and here you got a 60-year-old kid with a handgun that shoots 32 times. And they just getting their hands on them. I'm like, they set them like they setting popsicles down here.
Oh, and goodness.
Like, these last couple of weeks, we done had a murder, every day. It's not the older people, the murders that's happening is like from 16 to like 25.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And it's crazy. Like, we had one the other day that a guy was robbed and burned up in a car. It's starting to happen, and everything that's going on, we got one guy down here right now. He on trial for 4 murders. He only 15 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And when you go to look at the parents, it's like the parents hang out with the kids, they get drunk, they get high with the kids.
Right.
I'm just not understanding it. And then they pass laws in our state to where you can have a pistol license at the age of 16, and your parents can go buy you a pistol, and you can tote that pistol. Why would you want to have a 16-year-old with a firearm? Their mind ain't even fully developed to have a firearm.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, it's like genocide. They're putting it out there for us to kill ourselves. So,
yeah.
You can't do nothing about it, but if you're going to go against it and try to prosper, you're going to fall in line. And from the looks of it, us blacks basically falling in line on everything they want us to do.
Right. And, Eric, I know you out there, like I said, out in Colorado. Is there, and I'm not too up on it, is there a big gang violence problem that is perpetuated in the inner cities out there that's allowing the violence to prosper out there?
Well, I mean, I won't sit here and say Denver is as bad as like a Chicago or a Baltimore, but Denver's population is the fastest growing in the United States, and a lot of the people are coming from California, and, you know, they're shipping homeless people from North Dakota and Minnesota into Denver because Denver's supposed to be this new big, great city. And like
right.
I told you, they're moving all these kids out of the inner city to build new condos and new businesses and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of people say it starts at home and, you know, with the economy, you know, the both parents can't always be there. You know, I take it upon myself, you know, as a, you know, I'm 33 years old. I don't have no kids. But I've worked with kids for the last 15 years. I've coached every year. And, you know, I'm into the boxing thing, too. So when I
That's
go to
right.
the gym, I make sure I spend time with the kids after my workout. And kids who can't afford it, I find a way with the gym owners to make sure that they have a place to be after work. You know, if I got to come
right.
out of my pocket or if I got to do some extra stuff with the gym owners, you know, these
mm-hmm.
kids need a place to be. You know what I mean? They can't be at home. They can't be on the street. You know,
right.
I come from the street. You know what I mean? And the difference between me and some of these other kids is the older kids, they look after us. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
I, you know, my mom was a good mom. She fed all the kids in the neighborhood what she could. And so, you know, they saw that my parents cared for me. So when it was time for them to get in trouble, they made sure I was far away from it. And we start, you know, we need leaders in our community that are making sure these kids have a place to be, you know, and they're not out on the weekends when they're not around the kids at the club, partying, you know, drinking and smoking, and then trying to tell the kids that, you know, there's something better out there when they're just hiding the fact, you know, that they're doing all the wrong stuff too.
Sorry about that. I think I might have lost connection with the Hey, Keon, are you there? Hello, Carl, are you there? Oh, Carl, are you there? Hello, Carl, are you available? Sorry about that, folks. I think I lost all my callers, but they really
we all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is